is Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me,
we're on.
Won't see another one.
Yes, guys, so we're on.
And there in the sang a song.
Takes over the BU podcast.
The rare
here with myself, Luke Campbell, Leon McQuaid and Brett Durkin.
We are doing what we've done with the Hancock,
which is we're going to... This is the Christmas special, by the way. So we've got the Pogues on. So we're going to go round, like at an Andy's Man Club, give your name and what it's about that bit, and a quick positive reason why you're here. Over to yourself, Brett.
Brett, are you staying?
Yeah.
Jack off, mate. Come on. Let's get it off.
Christmas special, mate. We've got Leon dressed as, I don't know what he's dressed as. It's a bit strange, but he's here and he's involved, so. While we're waiting for Brett to get himself sorted out, clearly lost his iron.
Oh, he's back.
Right. Talk to us, Brett. Name and positive reason why you're here.
Obviously, Brett, as you've introduced, and obviously I've come along just to share a bit of my story.
Perfect. Leon, over to you.
I'm here as an elf. And with it being Christmas, I thought, you know, I like to the power of the now. So I thought I'd make sure I'll anchor myself in the present. So I brought you myself as an elf as a present.
Nice. And my name's Luke Ambler. I am one of the hosts here at the BU podcast. And we thought what was really special is we want to keep the BU podcast and this Man Club separate. But we did have a plan to go and do an Andy's Man Club takeover at some point, every once a month, do an Andy's Man Club takeover. And we thought, what better time to do it after we've set our record numbers for a year? We've tripled those numbers in 1 year, which we will get over to. But I know, Leon, that you were saying before that you do have some questions, so over to you.
Yeah, just I thought, with it being an Andy's Man Club takeover, you know, starting from the top and the foundations, and I thought I'd ask you your own questions actually.
All right.
We always talk about who, what, why, and when. So fill us in on that. Why are them questions?
It started off just because we want to keep it real simple. As you see in the branding, Andy's Man Club, is the white is the light in people's dark times. So try to keep everything simple. So who is simple?
Just back on that point, really explain the colours on that, because I found that really profound when you mentioned that, Sam.
Yeah, so people who are struggling, it's all dark and there's very little light, and that's what we want to represent. We want Andy's Man Club to be that little bit of hope in people's lives. And, you know, when they might, everything else might seem dark right now, but that little bit of light might just be Andy's Man Club for them.
Nice.
So, who? Very simple. Andy's Man Club is for any man going through a storm, or has just been through a storm, has a storm brewing, and, you know, very fortunate enough now, I guess, to have seen thousands of men at clubs, and I don't think I've ever met anyone in or out of a club that hasn't either been through a storm, is currently going through a storm, has a storm brewing. So, that's the who. The what is talking groups for men. It's that simple. You know, we get guys in a room, we open up, we have a simple process of questions, which we can go in a little bit more detail. You've been a facilitator and a trustee in a bit. But yeah, really, the crux of it is just getting guys in a room, open up, and it's some powerful shit that goes on in them rooms. The why, as people will know, but many might not, 5th of April 2016, my brother-in-law, Andrew Roberts, without any sign or warning, died by suicide, leaving behind complete devastation for his family, his beautiful little daughter. You know, I remember my little boy Alf and the screech he let out, and just the complete devastation that we're left with, like nothing we've ever seen. You know, even seeing his friends now, you can just still see the pain and the hurt that was left. And I always use a simple story of when Alfie was tied in his bedroom doing a spring cleaning, he found a 1 year birthday card off his uncle Andrew and screamed like the wardrobe had fell on him. To which Lisa ran up and he'd brought down the 1 year birthday card. So devastation after suicide, that's the why. So what we said was, me and Elaine, was Andy's mum, that we wanted another family to go through this. And that's the way that Andy's Man Club, that's the why. The where and the when is the interesting. We always meet Mondays at 7 o'clock, but the where is 17 locations all over UK, and we're very excited today to be able to announce that we are opening a new club down in Sheffield with the main man Deck, who's also a trustee, and he's going to be helping lead that crusade down there. So we've added another club.
It's been difficult keeping that quiet.
It has.
So a massive round of applause.
Yes.
Go on, Deck. Go on, Deck.
He's
go on, Sheffield.
That. So I hope that answers questions for anyone who's just tuned in or who didn't know too much about us, but that is the simple answer, really.
Nice. I like it. So where are we taking this then? Will it be an AMC takeover?
I think Brett's going to be a really interesting thing to come on to in a minute, but I don't want to spoil that surprise just yet, because I think Brett's been my best mate since I was 3-4 year old, and Brett, without going into your personal story just yet, because I want to just keep people waiting for that, what you've seen Andy's Man Club from its very first start, being my best mate, being around. What's your thoughts on it all?
I think it's massive. And I think it's something that needs to be out there for men. Everyone goes through a lot of stuff, whether it be personal or whether it be work. And it's a good place where men can offload. So I think it's great, personally.
And Liam, what about you? What were your first introduction to Andy's Man Club? I think it's quite a good story. And for those who don't know, Elaine, Andy's mum, who is such a character, and, you know, she's just such an amazing person. So I think it'd be really good for you to maybe, you know,
I think you know, you talk about the who, the what, the why, and I was talking about, you know, sort of culture. I'd seen Andy's Man Club. Well, my wife had introduced me to it. I had an idea when my technology business had started about Andy's Man Club. Never in a million years would I dream of being a facilitator and now being a trustee. Just a massive privilege. And I'd seen the who, what, why, you know, and the story, and I'd seen a Lad Bible video. And it was like, my wife had said to me, you need to get down and help these guys. And I went to, it was like an events committee meeting. And what I love and respect about Elaine is she protects the vision of Andy's Man Club and what it stands for, like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And I walked into that full force.
I'll just paint a picture. We just had some disagreements with a group that we had in Oldham. We won't go into the details of that, but we decided to close the whole group because with Andy's Man Club, what we always want is that no matter where you are in the country, you follow the AMC way and you buy into that ethos. And sometimes we have to lose clubs if they don't buy into that model, because we want to make sure...
Explain that model. I mean, Ali, do you want me to explain the model as what I bought into? I bought into, we're a club first and foremost that runs on a Monday night. That's what you need. You needed facilitators, which at that time you said it was me, and I said I hadn't got time, but I looked at it to basically open the doors at 6:30, sit there, facilitate a group, a safe environment for men to come and offload the problems, and we asked 5 simple questions, and that's it, nothing more, nothing less. That is all we're there to do.
Yep.
And I think jumping back into the other hat I have now with it as a trustee, and going back to you saying you protect that, not just over at Hull, across the entire country, we're protecting that. In that it has to be that way, and it's that way or no way, because we know that model works. Hull's a successful club, and all I've done is follow exactly what you've done and the other lads have done it. All the other clubs just follow that very, very, very reason. Simple. And the reason
for the main reason for that is Hull, we'll use Hull an example. If I'm a truck driver and I'm stuck on ferry home from Amsterdam and it's a little bit delayed, and I live in Peterborough and I use the Peterborough group, but I'm not going to get there on that Monday night now, I can pull in at the whole group knowing that it's going to be exactly the same. You'll still have those anxieties walking in because it is, you know, it's new guys, but it's exactly the same run as your Peterborough group or your Newton Abbott group or your Oban group or Dundee group, wherever that may be in the UK. So the whole group had closed, where they were a little bit, you know, apprehensive about what was going on over there, and then this guy turns up, this charming guy who happens to be from Hull.
Bit slimmer then, and a bit of quiff.
So he walks in with this quiff, slim, charming, walks in from Hull, after we've just had all this stuff going on with Hull, and offers his services to AMC. Now, that's the background. I'll carry on with...
Yeah, and then obviously, in true AMC style, I'm learning this more, everything just happens for a reason. It just sort of like... all fell into place. It wasn't meant to happen, and the way it happened, and ultimately I looked at it and saw a vision, and, you know, a charity back, you know, we weren't a charity back then, you know, guys needing help, and I just felt compelled to go set that first club up. But also, you know, when we talk about the who, what, why and when, really interestingly, I'd gone through, you know, a tragic loss of my own father, that had really shook me, but I'm very fortunate that I've got a very close group knit of friends, who we've always done an Andy's Man Club style. When we have a problem, we all sit down and we all share in that same thing.
Yeah.
And I was running this big business at that time, and it was just a challenge, all that, and I was trying to work out, you know, my own sense of purpose and my own thing I'm doing. And I remember, you know, not being able to draw the curtains in the morning to get up out of work, but I did. I went and did it because that's what I had instilled in me from my own father. And I had good support network around me, good people around me, and everything was cool. And it's so what you at home with Luke, I always remember one of the first things I'd seen you sort of speak about on one of your videos when I was working out what Andy's Man Club was about. And it's such a powerful thing, but you see it on social media at the times when it gets a bit misconstrued. It's okay not to be okay. I think that's one of the most powerful messages or lessons I learnt from Andy's Man Club. Yeah. Because if I'm honest, back then I thought I had everything figured out and everything's cool. I'm being a man, and you know, I was never meant to be a facilitator, but the facilitator role got me to learn a lesson, to listen, to question myself, to be vulnerable. All the powerful things and traits, you know, and when you're vulnerable, you take away any pain's power. I think that's a key point. And when you start rolling back with that, the whole group we set up, I had a couple of close friends suffering with anxiety and depression. I've got people in my family, you know, as well, you know, over the years that I've had that, you know, bestowed upon them. And I never fully understood it. I mean, you chat, you know, the reason why we're doing this podcast is we chat for hours, don't we, during the week.
Got, yeah. About, yeah. Instead of just trying to fool about stuff.
Like, just try and share
it. Microphone in front
of us. And, you know, when you've got someone suffering anxiety and depression, you're trying to fix it because you think of solutions, and watching, you know, getting the guys in at Andy's Man Club, my friends first and foremost, the way I got them involved, and Paul will tell you this, is I got them to go to a pub. We went to a pub. I said, we're not drinking, we're having a coffee, right? Got sat there. I knew two lads were suffering, and one of the lads who was suffering, his dad was there, and it was our old rugby coaches and that. And I said, I've just got this idea, and he's told me, we all turn up at this pub in the middle of nowhere on a Sunday morning. Got there, and I just did that. I said, right, I'm going to do this five questions thing. I just did the five questions. Yeah. I said, let's just try it. I'm just doing a bit of research, try it. And then at the end of it all, and everyone felt that we had some massive, powerful shares, exactly like our man club. We had tears, we had laughter, you know, all of it from blokes who you wouldn't think could be like that, myself included. And then at the end, I said, right, I'm setting up this club for Andy's Man Club on a Monday. I need your help. Will you help me? I said, well, what's it involved? You know, how's the club run? I said, we've just done one. That's it. I said, what do you mean, that's it? I said, that's it. And my why was really, what if you're the guy who's not lucky enough to have a great group of friends around him, right? What if you're the guy who's just moved or something's gone wrong and he's like, we all get bad breaks, don't we?
You might have a great group of friends, you just might not feel like
you can. And there's that side of it as well. And that's what motivated me to start going and doing it. And at first, we had nobody there. And we used to sit there and say there was loads of people there. We had our record numbers on Monday. Me and Paul were just sat there like...
How many members did you have?
36.
And
36. And six new. And we've got... But on the flip side of it, we had about another 20 guys messaging in because they're on holiday, they're there, they're doing this, right? And we've had to split it. And I sat down with Paul. We didn't leave till about 10:15, just reflecting. It was like, fraught, you know, because it's tight. How can we not turn up and do this? And how can there not be a need for it across the entire country?
We turn up for that one guy, don't we? Let me just tell you an Instagram message I got recently. And this is what it came through. Also, it said, Luke, mate, last night was my first visit to Andy's Man Club Oldham, and I had to drive an hour to get there. Stood outside for 90 minutes waiting as I needed to talk. Today was the first day I didn't look at the rope in my car. I put away the pills and told another friend that I'm not okay. Good luck, mate. Thanks from my 14-year-old girl. She'll never know your club saved her dad. So my reply was, mate, this just choked me up. I'm so glad you took that step. I know how hard it is to come through that door, but I'm glad it was worth it. I'm so happy to read this message and what it's done for you. Keep going, my brother. He replied, because I asked him if I could share this. He said, help yourself, mate. I sat in the room last night and cried my fucking eyes out, and found solace with the power of speech. My poor mate today only asked if I was okay. I said, frankly, no. But last night, a group of men I'd never met before have empowered me to be able to talk. Cherish a new child, my friend. It's a blessing. And that there is exactly what we're doing. So,
I've got goosebumps. I was listening to it.
I want to lead on to something. Tyson Fury. I keep getting asked about it. I were on BBC Radio 5 Live this week. They ran me up on Drive Time Hour to ask me about the Tyson Fury comments and what I thought about it. And I thought it was really powerful, but there's two sides to it for me. One is, what he's done is inspirational. He's gone from being rock bottom, being on drugs and drink and sleeping around and doing everything else, from being his rock bottom to going back and challenging for heavyweight title at world. That is inspiring in itself, if people know how to use that as inspiration. But not everyone can go and just be heavyweight champion. So what I was thinking about, and where he is about my best friend, who I've been best friends with since 3-4 year old.
And can we just give him a round of applause?
Yes. Tyson Fury. So, and what got me thinking about it was, is how Brett is like a real live version of that. And what I mean by that is like, he's not heavyweight champion at world. He definitely could be super heavyweight champion at world, but he's not the heavyweight champion at world. But there's some massive inspiration to come out of a bit of a story, Brett. So Brett hadn't done this before, so it might be a bit raw for him, and we've chatted up way over about whether he's comfortable. We hadn't preempted how we're going to do it, but I just want to take Brett back to the first time when you're about to buy an house, and you might not remember any of this, and or you'll remember it certainly, but how we're going to get this out. So let's go back to when you were going to buy your first house. It's going to be an exciting time, but there's a little bit of a problem going on in your own head that you've never truly dealt with. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was tough.
Weekend at Challenge Cup.
Yeah, so going away with lads, rugby lads away, drinking, drugs as we do as rugby lads. If probably other lads out there probably know the same feeling. And gambling, and obviously it all went wrong.
So we've got drugs, drink and gambling, and I'm about to go play up in Whitehaven, I don't know if you remember this, and I get a text saying, where is Brett? Off your missus, wasn't it? You happy with sharing this?
Yeah.
Got his text, where is Brett? And I text you saying, where are you? And I got a reply after the game saying, all good, mate. So typical maths gone, male, all good. That were on the Saturday. I get home on the Sunday, and who ends up at my house on that Sunday?
I think it was Monday, wasn't it?
On the Monday?
Monday. I meant to go home on the Sunday, and never went home. I went home on the Monday.
That were it, and there were no bank holiday. It was bank holiday, so no Andy's Man Club. So you're sat up at my house on my couch, do you remember?
Yeah, in a very bad place.
And you're just about to put deposit down on a house, and what ended up happening with that money that... No, not but, deposit, you're about to buy the house.
Yeah, about to buy the house. Fortunate that a friend lent me the money to buy the house, which... turned a bit sour, obviously. I went and gambled some of that away, but
luckily... So how much? Five grand
or something daft like that. And it's just a stupid weekend.
And you were due to put the money down on the Tuesday?
Yeah, for the
hour. So he sat at my house on the Monday after just being out a weekend. Mrs. pretty much wants to leave him now, because she didn't even know the extent of this. So we sat there, weren't we?
Yeah.
And he's been on a massive bender. He's just constantly trying to mask it with drugs and drink, because he's just spent £5,000. Of the money, there's no way to find it back, is there?
No. And that was my escape to drink and drugs, get back on it, and then that was my escape. And if I was getting shit faced, basically, I wasn't worrying about what I'd already done, so just kept on doing. Then it came to that crash on Monday when I was sat at your house, and I'm like, what am I going to do now?
It was thoughts of game over, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I just thought I've ruined everything now, but obviously, thankfully, I'm still here today.
And you thought you were going to lose your son, your missus, and I can see it's a bit raw to you.
Yeah, it is a bit raw, but we'll learn from it, don't we, as well? And I think, personally, I've learned a lot from that as well.
I think the big thing, you know, that there, because it's brave of you to come on and share that and say that, as blokes, we pretend that we've got it all worked out. We think we've got it all worked out, and we always talk about in the clubs, don't we, coping strategies and coping techniques.
And positive ones.
And we're not taught what positive ones and negative ones are. We're not taught that at school. We're not taught the difference. We're taught that as blokes, we go have a beer. We stand in the pub, don't we, with our stiff British upper lips and pretend we've got it all figured out. We know what everything is, and we don't actually want to be vulnerable. And
if you see people taking drugs and seem like they're having a good time, and you're feeling shit, you might think that's going to make you have a good time.
It's down to culture. It's down to culture, isn't it? It's down to culture. That underlying, what you surround yourself with, you become. And I think, I'll ask you a question in the back of that. I love the word vulnerability. So when you was there, low, and you was vulnerable, and you put your hand up, and... What a better couch you could have found yourself on.
Yeah, luckily enough, I've grown up with someone.
let's talk about, because it's like, the inspirational bit for me ain't even yet. So we sat on that couch, and you're thinking of all ways you can find this money. He's not thinking about the honesty. So we end up having a chat, and I says, no, listen, what we've got to do is we've got to go see, firstly, Jess, you know, your amazing partner, and also her mum and dad. And we need to fix this, and they were like, you can't do that, you know, and he's still in his head, he's wanting to run away, and went down and I had that conversation with you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Which was not a pleasant one. No. And I think, did you live at my house for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, obviously I needed to get my head straight and stuff, so yeah, thankfully. So he put me up for a week or two.
So then this is where, for me, it gets better, because you think that people think life is, you have a setback and then you pick yourself back up and that's it, but... Let's just go through the little bit of a journey. So you've had this setback, massive setback. Suicidal?
Yeah, I was at the time, because I just...
Taking drugs, getting smashed. House has gone, everything's gone, missus is going to leave you, you're not going to see your kid, it's all rock bottom. We then start to piece it together with a bit of honesty. You then go get yourself a new job.
Yeah.
Are we still in the job at that point?
No, luckily enough, I got a new job at the time.
Got headhunted?
Yeah, I got headhunted and got took to another business. So it was like a fresh start for me. I would focus back on work, focus on doing the things right that I should be doing, supporting my family and stuff like that. And then they went into administration, so it was like another, what? I'm getting myself back round. But then I went away with a good friend, Paul White, to set up an insurance with himself. Obviously, that didn't pan out how we thought it both it would, but obviously what happened, I enjoyed the time while we were there and stuff, and that didn't pan out as well as what I'd thought it would, but so, little things happened.
So you've gone all in essence, you've got to set this business up. It hadn't quite worked out how you thought it would. You end up working for a business in a good capacity, you're earning good money, everything's going well. And then you start coming to loggerheads like you do in any business, and then you mutually decide to leave.
Yeah. The environment they were in were quite pressured at the time, and I felt myself going back into an hole. And I'm one of them, if you don't enjoy going into work in the morning, then come away from that job, because you're just going to be in that vicious cycle and you're going to be affecting your own mental health. I felt like I was coming in depressed. So yeah, we ended up leaving on mutual consent, both part of company, whatever that was, obviously. And then I had to try and find a job again. So,
and how easy were that, Brett?
It was tough. Like I say, taking your laptop home and working till 2 o'clock in the morning doing stuff and not seeing your family, neglecting your family, it were hard. And it were hard at the time when, obviously, I'd been through a few setbacks. I got back on the, obviously, nice plain sailing, and then, obviously, back set again and try to find work again, get back into work. And it were quite tough.
I want to rewind you, because it just made me think of a little story. Brett comes from the same council area as me, we're both from Ovingdon. Mm. Brett's been involved in some stuff in the past that, you know, that's not for him to discuss on air, but something past where he never really worked properly, did you? You were in and out of jobs with your dad. Mm-hmm. Dad took him on for a bit, didn't, you know, the in and out of there. And me and Brett were driving, and we're over at flyover in town, weren't we? And I said, please come work for this home insurance company that I'm involved with. And he said, no, I'm not interested in that at this moment in time. I've got my own business interests, and he was doing bits and bats of whatever he was doing. And I said, no, come on, Brett, come on. I begged him and begged him. And anyway, I sort of forced him to come down and meet Tony Abbott, who's an amazing man. And I said, Tony, listen, I've got a best friend. He's an absolute legend of a bloke. Will you give him a chance? And he says, are you putting me up against wall on this one? And I says, no, but I think you won't regret it. And at that moment in time, he said, I'll give him a trial. It's going to be unpaid. It's commission only. Brett turned in, from that day, got that job. He turned in every single day without fail to end up getting a job and ended up becoming one of the managers at business, didn't you?
Yeah.
So then he ends up leaving, gets headhunted and all this other stuff. So he had all that shit going on, left that business, got headhunted for another job, all goes well. He has his massive setback, which we spoke about, gets a new job, everything's going well, starts his new business, and then mutually agree to leave. And then there's no jobs, is there?
No.
January this year.
Yeah, I were playing left, right and centre. And I just thought to myself, obviously, I've been in a managerial role for a couple of years. I would just apply for manager's jobs, and it would just, I was getting people interested, but there were no really big hooks. So I found myself, like, degrading myself, and I spot your ink card, and I said, I'm just going to go back to sales. Do you know what that's it? I'm going to go back to sales.
Just get all you could, won't you?
Yeah, just get all I could. Even if it's 18 grand a year, I'll just go and do it. So I went to an interview in Leeds, and they said it was like a manager's interview. So I thought, locked up. I thought, decent basic salary.
So did you start?
Yeah.
So come out today and you start Monday, didn't
you? Yeah. And then she goes, I left. Straight away got a phone call, I want you back in for a second interview. I says, all right, no worries. I can't come tomorrow, but I can come Friday. This way on the Wednesday. She goes, oh yeah, brilliant. She goes, what you'll do, you'll go out with one of our field salespeople and you'll understand what we're doing, how it works, stuff like that. So set off, left home at 5 o'clock Friday morning to get to Leeds. Got to this place where we were meeting, and she goes, right, you're going to go out to Broadway, Bradford. I says, all right, no worries, that's not a problem. So I go.
Think he's off to visit like businesses and shops and sell this product.
Yeah, so I thought, so I got, leaving. It's right next to Leeds Crown Court, where their main building is. So I went out, got on the bus to go to Broadway. I thought, what's happening here? I thought someone would be driving me or something. Got up bus and started talking to a lad who's taking me out. He says, oh, so what do you do, this, that? He says, you'll enjoy it. He says, what's your background? I told him my background, stuff like that. I says, so when you're working, obviously you get paid a salary. He says, we don't get paid a salary here, mate. I says, what?
They told him they were on a salary.
I says, what? He goes, no, mate, it's all like commission. You've got to do so many things.
Them guys were pesty in town.
Do you know, by the Sky. Empower. They were doing that, and I thought, what has my life come to here? But luckily enough, on the Friday, so I didn't even go back to the main office. I just left Broadway. I said to this guy, listen, mate, I need a job, but I had stooping to this low. But luckily enough, I had a job interview in Halifax, just across the road from my house, 10 minutes away, which I wasn't planning on going because it was selling tyres. I don't know about tyres. I don't know about cars.
What are you doing now? You don't know, Brett.
Let's, before that, because we've missed a vital bit out, because you've been out of work for a long time.
Mm.
Well, you say a long time, three, four months?
Yeah, it was three, four, because I went on road with you for a bit.
You came and I took you on for a bit, didn't I, and helped you out the best I could. And you came to some prisons, and what inspired me, and this is why we're going on to where we are now, right? So you've been at this rock bottom, you've got yourself back up, you've got a good job, then you've been let go from your job, you've got another job, and it's all going well again, you've started this business, and then it all goes finger. So you're back at rock bottom. This time, though, you're starting to get some pressure from home.
Yeah.
Because you're not able to provide, you've got no money, life's going down that way again, you're starting to feel a little bit shit, everything is looking negative again, isn't it? Then I said to you, do you want to come to a prison with me, do you remember? You're both looking at Facebook, do you remember saying, do you want to come to a prison with me?
Yeah.
And you came to a prison, and it was the first time you'd ever heard me speak, innit?
Yeah.
As my best friend, and it was hard for me speaking in front of you, because there's some of this stuff that you'd never knew about, but, and remember your first, what about your first?
Well, we'll rewind it back slightly, so... Luke, if anyone knows Luke, he's very forgetful and he always says he says stuff but never says it. So we're going down to...
don't say the prison. We're going down to a prison
And we're on his way down there. And it was about, what time? About 8, 9 o'clock at night?
Maybe even later. It might be 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, I turned to Yana and says, you've got your ID, haven't you? And to which Brett went, what would I need ID for? I said, we're going into a prison. I ain't got ID. I says, well, if we turn around now, we're an hour away from London where we're going. It's going to take us 4 hours back up and 5 hours back down, which means it's going to be bang on time we need to get there, so we're going to have to risk it. We managed to get Brett, which we're not going to do much. Brett managed to come into that first talk, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was, we're in the prison, and you have this perception of prisons, don't you? You have people in there, big IOs, and... walked in and looking over my shoulders every 2 minutes thinking, oh, is someone going to do this? But it's everyone gets that perception of prison, but prison's one of them places where there's people like ourselves in there. And when I heard, obviously, Luke's first do his talk, I thought, wow, this is powerful. I didn't even know this. I've been his best mate for so long, and some of this stuff that he's saying here, I didn't even know. How didn't I know that? And obviously went to a couple of more prisons after that, and we're good, we're right experience to be fair.
The emphasis was the what's next, and the reason why I'm getting onto this is this what's next thing I talk about is Brett then. Brett had been using Andy's Mankle with me earlier on in that year, but at this point we were chatting just like what Andy's Mankle's meant to be about, is like encouraging people to talk just between your mates, and we were then taking his mask off talking, and we said this what's next. I remember Brett getting a bit of pressure from home, and he was panicking, you know. I said to him, why are you not panicking about not having a job? He said, because... And he just used my phrases from my talk. He went, why worry about something I can't control? I'm out here, I'm trying to get jobs. And he's there grafting, he's there grinding, trying to get. He said, I'm not being able to get, no one's not sticking at me. And then it fast forward to he gets a job in April. We're now sat in December. And tell everyone what award you got last week and what's just happened for your year.
Yeah, obviously luckily enough to win account manager of the year.
No, let's refer, because people make their own luck. You've grafted your ass off this year, right?
I've been at the business 7 months now. Like I say, I was luckily enough to win the account manager of the year.
Got a bonus. Smashing your bonuses. Yeah. You define it.
Give him a shout.
Four months ago, you were unemployed.
Yeah.
And now...
Well, it's just over seven months.
Seven months ago. Yeah. And now you've grinded your ass off and you sat on best money you've ever been on.
Yeah, yeah, by far.
And your family's in a different position to
how
it was.
Yeah, yeah, by far. Obviously, we've got a nice big family holiday coming up in New Year, stuff like that. And like I say to my managers at work, this is probably a job for life that I'm in at the minute, so... touch wood, everything goes nice, the business didn't go bust, which I shouldn't hope so, it's owned by massive billionaire companies, hopefully. Yeah, I can't see myself moving. I did sit down, obviously you do sit down with people, managers, what's next? They said, what's next for you now? You're employed by us full time, what's next for you? And instead of being, I've always said, instead of being on that comfy line, we all get comfy, probably this time of year I'm comfy at minute, I'm getting nice money. I've said, nah, this is me. I want to progress within a business, want to move on to bigger, better things within that business, as long as there's opportunity and scope. And I think that's one of the things us as men and us as people, we get comfy. Everyone gets comfy in what we do. I'll put my hand up. You guys probably put your hand up. We do get comfy. So what I'd say is just excel yourself. If you believe in yourself and can do stuff, go and do it.
So let's break this down where I use it as a Tyson Fury analogy. Tyson Fury, won heavyweight champion, everything was going well. He then gets on the cocaine and the drugs and the drink, starts doing whatever he's doing. He then fights his way back after years and goes into that fight. So in a real life analogy for me was, you did the exact same. You hit a down patch, you started gambling all the time, you were drinking, you were doing drugs, you hit a rock bottom, you nearly lost your family. Then you built that back up, had another massive setback, which is getting like knocked down what he did. Right, but then you went, no, do you know what, I don't care, I can control what I can control. You got back up, you got yourself into a job, and there's people out there who might be unemployed now, you've been in through a lot of shit like they have, you're having mental health problems, you were suicidal, you've been on the drugs, you've been on a drink, you've been a gambling addiction and a bad one, but now you've fought through that, you've fought back, you've stood up, you've gone round and you've now got yourself a job, and not only just got a job and coasted through it, you've gone and excelled and got account manager here, and everyone's so proud of you, and I think it deserves a massive round of applause.
Yeah, massive. And I want to you know, because this is Andy's Man Club takeover, right? So let's loop this back as well. And, you know, for a guy who's listening out there, you know, I always say in the videos we do at the end of Andy's Man Club, right? If there's a guy listening there, you've used Andy's Man Club. You technically got Andy's Man Club 24/7 because he sat in front of you. he started the questions and that sort of idea of it. So you know the ideology better than most. What was really interesting for me listening in on you two fellas there was, and this is the thing about Andy's Man Club, why it works when you don't have to know each other. You two boys have known each other since you've been
3-4 year old, yeah.
Right? And there's a couple of points in there, I don't know if you realise it, you didn't even know some of his stories.
Yeah.
And vice versa, right? And you do put these masks on. That's why I think, for me, Andy's Man Club's so powerful, because you've got a group, right? It doesn't matter what race you are, what creed you are. I've got a real good friend I was on the phone with last night, a guy called Raj. He lives down in London, done loads of stuff with him in my former business life. And he's now become a real good friend of mine, and he's a Sikh. And we always talk about different books and different bits, and Sikhs are massively loyal, you know, and I really love his values as a person and just as a human being. He's just a cool bloke. And he was in a garage. I'll show you a video of the garage. He's in a garage yesterday. I've seen him, you know, from nothing, running this business, running it up, and he's in a garage, and he's over £3 million worth of cars in his garage, which he sent me to look at, you know, for my lad Blake. And we're having a laugh, right? But we're just on the phone having a chat, and we know everything about each other, and it's real and raw. It's that real and raw, and getting outside of your comfort zone and speaking to people who are completely different to you, and finding a common purpose. And the common purpose, what I always love about Andy's Man Club, is you're there to grow as human beings, right? You know, it's like a flower, that flower analogy, isn't it? You know, if we don't feed it and water it with positive stuff, we're going to turn into a weed. And I think in this sort of subculture, in the rugby, in the youth, all of it today, I've seen it all, but I've, you know, use drink to mask my own problems.
Toxic
and yeah. And we talk about coping mechanisms. I sit with my little beads now. I meditate, I try and chill out, I try and get my brain to disengage from that fight or flight, because if you're not mindful of that, you get all wrapped up and you put yourself into a position where you can't, unfortunately some people feel they can't get out of it. And I think giving a guy a bit of advice, you know, who's listening out there now, because it's Andy's Man Club takeover, is what changed for you? Because
I went to Andy's Man Club a couple of times because I felt like I got something off my chest. I opened up. It was quite emotional for me the first time that I went. But then I seen that what other guys were going through, And I thought, what I'm going through is no compared to these guys.
Perspective.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Putting stuff in perspective. And I thought, if these guys are going through this and I'm doing this, I can sort myself. I can get myself out of this rut. And obviously that did happen. And if wherever you are across the country, just try and find a local club, Andy's Man Club, and just get there. If you've got any, like they say, it's hard to get through that door, but even if you just sit there and listen to everyone else, you might take something away from that club, might go away with that little something that'll help you.
Yeah, I had a thing like I said, I'm dressed here as an elf today, right? And obviously,
no one knows why. Yeah,
yeah, no one knows why. But there's two reasons really. I know we're not talking about business today, but I'm in business, so I can free myself up to do things like today, right? That's the whole idea, right? But I'm part of this thing called BNI, and if anyone knows what BNI is, I was never a fan of it. It's like where you go and you network, and it's people trying to network, and they're all there with one common purpose to sell stuff, right? Yeah. And it's like a real weird environment. And the way I got into BNI, I have Andy's Man Club to thank, because the guy who runs Andy's Man Club, the BNI, came to one of our clubs, and I really like him. He's just a cool guy, and he runs it. Why our club's so successful, BNI Blaze, give him a quick shout out, is he doesn't run the way BNI should run. He's just himself, and he keeps it all real and raw. And today was their Christmas morning, so I was there at Cave Castle, wonderful Cave Castle. Give them a shout out. And they said that we had to give Secret Santa. So I thought, what better way than, because this is how, basically, when I finish work on Friday, I wear about different pairs of jammers like this for the next 2 weeks with the kids.
Nice.
So when they can hear me in the shed, hopefully they won't be listening to this, but when they hear me in the shed helping Santa put the presents up, I'm an elf, you know what I mean, right? And so I thought, I'll just rock up there. And what was quite funny is I got up like this. So everyone's like, oh, he looks cool. I'm like, I've just got out of bed. So that's why I'm like this. But on that note, though, just where we go, though, I took them a Secret Santa. I thought we'd like to have a bit of a surprise on it. I thought I'll bring us a present.
Yep.
Right? Because, really? I brought us a present.
And while Leon's getting that present, I just want to just say something that Brett said.
I ain't wrapped it up.
You ain't wrapped it?
No, but I'll write it.
Before you show us, because I don't want us to lose a point, Brett said that he only went to Andy's Man Club a couple of times, and that is a great emphasis. Crowe says three types of people come to Andy's Man Club, and none are in the wrong, none are in the right. Mm-hmm. Some people need it every week as part of their rituals. Mm-hmm. They come. Some people want to come just twice, because you came right at your rock bottom. I remember that Monday you sat at my house, the next 2 weeks you went, I remember coming with you, and you opened up, and that were enough for you, because then you progressed. Some people come for a couple of weeks, leave for a couple of weeks, come back for a couple of weeks. None is right or wrong, it's whatever's right for you. So if you're a guy there who thinks, well, I don't want to go every week, you don't have to. If you're a guy who goes every week and you want to go every week, keep going every week. So
some people class it as like, people church. Play sport,
yeah.
Do you know, people sport. Play rugby, get their significance out of rugby. Some people might see going on his man club on a Monday is getting their significance, getting stuff off his chest.
And that's it, as a masculine man, you know, sat there with a beard, a big lad and a rugby player. That's what that group was set up for, to be able to go, offload, and, you know, go or stay every week.
I look at it as well, because I try and make sure I bang this message out in around anything I'm doing with Andy's Man Club. First and foremost, it's just a group of blokes coming together. I've really got to stick, you know, make sure we get that bit right, because we have different ends of the spectrum. You know, one of the most powerful questions we ask at all is the first question, what's your name, one positive reason why you're here?
Yeah.
A number of times I've had someone say, I was out on the bridge last night, I've had this cup can transform, you know, all these different things, and you're like, wow. And then seeing them guys, you know, a week, just, well, even at that first session, walking out, just different
people,
We don't do anything, they figure it out themselves, and that's the amazing bit I see. I think there's that side of it, and so you've got that side of it, but then you've got the guy who, you know, just can't share with his friend, you know, something like what you're going through, right? These 99%, you know, there's a lot of blokes out there in that age range with it, because it's all cool, it's all this, and there's a subculture that we need to batter out of there, because it's not all cool. And
the drugs, drink, gambling,
distraction
from your problem, put you in a worse state.
Yeah, and you can find happiness by, you know, I said to you when we were at Kilimanjaro, that just changed my whole outlook on life, you know, like you when you was at rock bottom. Me last year, I did the opposite. I stepped away from something that was very secure. So everyone externally to me looked, you know, like, what are you stepping away from, that job, that career, that industry you've been in? And I talk about culture in terms of, it just didn't fit, it didn't sit right with where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. Nothing wrong with the business. It just, it wasn't me. I'd just done something because I'd always done it, and I just naturally
get comfy,
got good at it. And I believe, exactly like you, one of my biggest sort of things is I like to scare myself. And I perform best when challenge. I'm an underdog, you know. Yeah, that was me on a rugby pitch. I'd play my best when we're playing the best teams. And I think there's an element where you do have to scare yourself. You do have to get outside that comfort zone.
That's where you grow.
But it's back to you. It's that cycle. And I personally, you know, still have that fight in terms of juggling between my career, you know, or my business, my family, my friends, my personal life. And I always think, you know, it should be like a square box and you can fit everything in each corner. But for me, and I don't know if you've got any you know, feedback on this, and because you're going through the same thing yourself, right? I can never seem to keep anything more than I want to keep it nice and square and even.
But it's always a triangle.
I'm like, something's got to give. And it's just trying to find that balance, you know. Because my old vision this year was to step away and spend more time with my family, but then setting up a business.
you took more time away.
Yeah, but the goal's there and we're back there, and, you know, I'm having 2 weeks off, emails are going off, and, you know,
You've got to have your switch off. That's important as well. You've got to be able to have your switch off, because this stuff goes on. If you can't switch off, then...
Well, let's switch off for a second while Leon gives our present.
Oh, yes. Right, are we ready?
I'm going to read some stats out.
Just close your eyes, lads, because... keep them closed.
Oh.
There you go.
Can we open now?
There you go. What is it?
Play that tune.
Right, so we're gonna actually play that tune today. So, because you're like the host, aren't you? You know some like music.
Yeah.
You can rack this up and let's have a go. So just for those of you who are listening, because it's not always on YouTube, what we've got going on here, Brett, it's like a, I think it's called a kazoo. I think. Right, so we're each gonna have a kazoo. Right. Pack of cards, here we go, right? Here we go.
Ah, you've got to guess what you're playing.
Yes. Right, so I thought we could have a quick round, can't we?
Yep. While Leon's unpacking this, I just wanna rattle through these stats. So last year when I was, let me just turn the other mics down just while you're unpacking. Last year when I was in Hull, I did a video, well, I figured one at last sessions at year, and I'd said that we'd had 350 menus at Andy's Man Clubs across the country. I just announced the other day that this year, 1 year on, we've had 10,908 menus at clubs. Let's get your mic back on.
When I saw that, that was just unbelievable.
And I'm going to rattle through some of these. We have lost a couple of these clubs along the way this year, just for a variety of different reasons, nothing bad. But I'm going to rattle through these. So Halifax had, and listen, there's no clubs are in competition. Some have been standing a lot longer than others. And every club, you know, even if every club just had one guy, it would be enough. But what we're going to do is go rattle through this. So we've had Halifax had 1,962 men. Hebden Bridge had 445 men use it across the year. Huddersfield, 1,070. Wakefield, 783. Dewsbury, 382. Leeds, 704. Bradford, 580. Hartlepool, 215. Newton Abbott, 307. Peterborough 236, Perth 860, Glasgow 322, Dundee 257, Oban 303, Hull 1022, Oldham 1104, Bridgend 179, Arsenal 6, Lee 146, and Tynmouth 25, which equals 10,908 men who have used our clubs, of which 1,587 was new faces. So this year alone, we've had 1,587 new faces, which is absolutely outstanding. Each one of those guys, you know, we've had feedback that it's either change a life or save a life, and I think it's absolutely massive. So I think we're going to now try and have a bit of fun with these two to see what they're doing.
I think Leon's brought a Duff secret sample.
Apparently, you put your... it says... Yeah.
So we have a quick go for a bit of Christmas fun. Although we're going to do one song each really quick. Can't 1 minute. So I'll go, you can guess this, and then we'll go around.
Wait, this is a game.
I might not know the song, but I've got a song.
You'll know all these.
Go on then.
Lucky Dip.
One quick one each.
Go on.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Teletubbies.
Yes. Teletubbies.
Yes. One to me.
Next one. Over to Brett. Actually, like Andy's man club, we like to be serious. We like to talk about real raw stuff like we do with Brett. Then we also like to have a little bit of fun. So, Brett, let's have a go of yours. So you're not blowing it, you go.
Superman.
A-team or Top Gun.
Superman.
You're on the right line.
Superman.
Do it again. Spider-Man, Superman.
One last go, come on. Do better, Brett.
I'm trying to think of it. It's good. They've got loads of theme tunes, but...
No idea. Yeah. I'm out on that one. What is it?
Tough. Star Wars.
Star Wars. Oh, I get it. Hey, you ready? You ready? We good?
That was class.
So what were we rating these presents?
Do you know, we had our Secret Santa yesterday at work, and I was devastated. I got like a stress ball, and it were a lady got me two bum cheeks with a thong on. I bust them. I had it now and I bust them. I'm devastated.
Joke, guys. While we just set up and get ready for next little segment we're going to do, I've just found a song. I don't know what it's called, but it might tie in nice. I've never heard it in my life. I just want to call it Look Up. In with the Tyson Fury line, in with Brett, in with the Andy's Man Club, about no matter when life hits you, you've just got to look up. Let's have a little see what this song's like while we talk about
it. He loves his DJing, doesn't he? He loves it.
This is called You've Got to Look Up by Dodger. Starting to think I'm a bit of a DJ, but I'm not.
He's not a DJ, is he? What was them two radio DJs called on BBC?
Chris Miles. You do look like him.
No, right? Was it Mark and Lad? I'm Mark, he's Lad.
I want to give a shout out to Paul Curtis. Thank you for saving my life. That's unbelievable feedback.
Wow.
You know, what a powerful statement to say that, you know, Andy's Man Club saved his life.
Keep going, then, Paul.
Basil Rose, Brave Share Brett, good on you. That's massive. Big shout out to Bradley Garton, who joined. Bradley has been a big ambassador for us ever since his amazing father passed away by suicide, and he's been, you know, such an ambassador for us. Paul Curtis again, Andy's Man Club in Newton Abbott is a brotherhood. We support each other. It's brilliant. What's amazing to read that there, that's just the first time I've read it, is that Paul Curtis said the Newton Abbott one, which is crazy because Newton Abbott is 300 miles from where we are right now.
Wait, educate me on that. Where?
It's in Devon.
Oh, right, yeah.
Near Exeter.
Yeah, nice. And he's great just, cream teas down there.
You did well at geography, Luke, didn't you?
He is.
Very well. Work all over the country. And
I didn't know that.
For Paul Curtis to say that it saved his life and it's a brotherhood. That word brotherhood gets used so many times over and his man club, and that's what it is.
I want to talk a bit more about that as well, so for people who don't know about the man club. Yeah.
Carl McCoon, I think it says. It says, keep it up, guys. Proud to be a part of this. We're proud you are. Kirsty Jane, thank you for setting up in Sheffield. How can I get posted to let people know?
Great question. Great question, Kirsty.
Email into info@andysmanclub.co.uk with any requests or anything that you need, or andrew.greenway@andysmanclub.co.uk. Andrew has been sending out leaflets and posters to GPs, businesses all over UK, so we can start to really promote our groups. Because listen, end of the day, you know, we've got a goal, you know, I don't mind saying it on air, that eventually once we get to 1,000 men a night, because when we're starting to reach 1,000 men a night, we can really start to make a dent on that suicide rate.
So we're past the quarter of our goal already, aren't we?
Already.
Yeah, nice.
So we're getting up there, and now having Andrew on board full time and Sabrina, you know, and a really good board of trustees, which we all met for last week for the first time.
Epic.
You know, myself, From Halifax, you from Hull, Deck from Leeds, Adam and Alex from Scotland, Elaine from...
It's a fallacy!
That's what the Scottish boys are always saying. And it's amazing to get those minds in a room and to see how we're going to make that even bigger than it already is.
Keep going, guys.
So, Brett, you brought up a good point in the little you look up break. What were some of that you wanted to ask a question on for people out there?
I know it. I'll
get back about for
Christmas.
Oh yeah,
He's back in the room now.
Yeah, yeah.
One, two, three. Brett's back in the room.
Bring it back in. The power. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's a difficult time. Christmas for a lot of people. Financial stresses, whether that be people who've split up, not seeing the kids, things like that. So, if you are struggling or anything like that, by all means, I think you guys will have some platforms where they can maybe contact, or these other platforms out there where they can use. So, if you are struggling.
Well, there's no, I mean, a good point, and Luke, I think you jump onto this and really direct where people are going, because we've got no club. Thinking on this, we've got no club for nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I mean, just to give guys who, you know, are new to watch it, where do they go? Any advice?
The reason why we have no clubs, what we've always said is everything's got to run the same, because some of our locations are just point blank not open over at bank holidays, especially like, you know, Shea Stadium, like, they're just not open. So what we never want to do is lead a guy on to think that one club's open, so he thinks that another club's open, turn up and it's not open. So what we always say is that once one club's shut, in terms of a bank holiday, they all are shut, just to keep it transparent. Sure. Some clubs will do their own little socials, and if you've been involved and you can close pages, then groups will talk about that. Usually in Halifax, we'll do a little Christmas walk, which I'm planning on doing again.
That's a great point, because I got asked that, what we're doing for Christmas.
Yeah, in the main page, I'm going to be putting something on between Christmas and New Year.
Nice.
Maybe that, you know, the Thursday or the Friday.
You're coming.
Thursday, Friday, when?
Between Christmas and Boxing, between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, I've got to work.
All that Saturday, because people will have to work, so maybe the Saturday. And all we'll do is what we usually do, we'll meet in around Sorby Bridge area, Halifax, all park.
Great walk.
Go for a walk, and then maybe try and get a little bit of food together. And anyone who can turn up to that, men, women, kids, we all have a little walk on to Webden Bridge, on Canal, which last year were beautiful, and the year before. So we probably will look to that. And that won't be just for people of Halifax. For people
we brought a couple of cars over from the last time, yes. And judging by the room, I think we're going to need to bring a coach.
Yes.
So we'll be coming in force. We always travel to the Hull,
and that's what we want to do. So, but I always straight away, my natural go to when people say, "Where do we go?" Samaritans. You know, they're 24/7, unbelievable service. They've backed us from day one. We've got a great relationship with Samaritans. We try and attend all their regional events and national events, and at any point we can to support them. Because they'll have volunteers all over the winter period, all over the Christmas period, picking up those phones to people who just need that chat. And, you know, message our page if you feel like you need to. You know, there's always someone there within reason. You know, it's not a 24/7 service. But
we have made a big change there as well, to let everyone know. We're changing, so we're going away from instant messenger coming straight into the clubs, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I'll explain a little bit more on that. Is to make sure, because not every club can manage that, because, you know, us guys who are running the clubs, when I've got my facilitator on, we have jobs and other work bits to do, so it is a challenge.
Families.
So we do have now paid members of staff, don't we, as we're a charity.
So the
idea behind that is, that goes into the central messaging bank, but then that makes sure that we can get back to that person instantly, and then also then reach out to the facilitators to then meet up and just try and make sure...
At the same time,
that
won't be a 24/7 service.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're saying is that by going into the central page, messaging there, it can always be picked up at some point. When you get messaging to a club that's maybe down south or anywhere over at UK, you know, if that's just one facilitator or two facilitators running that, it's not always easy to pick up all of them, and sometimes messages get
lost. It's challenging, isn't it? And I think that's a key thing, because that came up in our group this week by one of the guys. I'm struggling during the week. You know, how do I get in touch with you? How do I contact you? And first and foremost, I think that's back to you, Luke, setting that culture. First and foremost, what the club is about.
Monday nights.
That's what the club's about, first and foremost. Monday nights, get there and talk. Outside of that, where we are fortunate, all the clubs have got closed messaging groups, so there is support in there in that. But again, the vision is that we're not professionals, Luke, isn't it? And,
yeah, it's peer-to-peer. So what'll happen, I know definitely what happens at the Halifax a lot, is someone will put on, I'm struggling, and someone else will put, do you want me for a coffee? And they go out and they have a coffee, a few of them, which is great, and that's what that brotherhood's about. And I'm hoping that across the board that type of thing will be going on. Shout out Tom Nolan, keep up the great work, lads. Anyone else has got any questions or any points, do put them on below.
So if anyone's struggling over Christmas,
Samaritans, to bullet point it, Samaritans, get on the phone at Samaritans. Look out for any social that Andy's Mankle main page puts on. You might have to travel a little bit, but we usually do a walk and talk over Christmas, which is just a nice walk along canal, getting out and up. And you know, you talk about the NHS 5 points to wellbeing, getting out, getting active, connection and love, growth, connection, and being mindful. There's no better than getting out and on a walk and connecting with like-minded individuals. Or if you're really stuck for help, just reach out to a family member this year, reach out to a friend, you know, take that plunge and really just go out and just say to someone, listen, I'm not too good. You know, because as Leon said earlier, it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to talk.
I've just the number for Samaritans again. You know, if anyone's listening and struggling now, is just everyone knows is 116123. That's the number that they can reach out, and that their mandate. Look, you can talk more about that in terms of that service they offer is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, and listen, Andy's Man Club's not for everyone. Samaritans is not for everyone. CALM's not for everyone. Mine's not for everyone. Your local council's not for everyone. But there is something within all those services that is for you.
Yeah.
And Andy's Man Club is talking groups for men. We never said we're for people who struggle with mental illnesses, but we do get people coming with mental illnesses, and it helps them as part of a coping mechanism. But Samaritans offer a great service. They're 24/7. You can ring them at any time. You know, and they do an amazing job. And you know, shout out Samaritans, huge shout out for their, you know, I think they've got 20,000 volunteers,
which is just phenomenal.
You know, and the
turn great work. Them guys are going to be busy over this period. It's a challenging period, isn't it?
You know, massive respect for Samaritans, everything they do, and they'll be turning up, you know, every minute, you know, that we're getting a phone call. I think they get 5 million calls a year.
Wow.
And they handle them all. You know, they do have some drop-offs, and I've spoken to them about stuff that they, you know, that they're still working on, but they have a tech service now for the younger generation. You know, they're really up in the game, and I think Samaritans will continue to be such a huge force for suicide prevention. So if you're struggling on this Christmas period, do give the Samaritans a smart out. They are massive. So have we got another comment on here underneath? I can see. Let's see who this is. Right, yeah, we've got out Dan Shackleton. Shout out to Ebden Bridge and his man club. You're doing an amazing job, Luke. Thank you. David McCallion, simply the best thing to happen to combat male suicide.
Nice.
Superb service. You know, and when you hear these stuff coming in, you know, I went to the Oldham 1 year anniversary recently, birthday celebration, and they didn't know I were there, so they weren't saying it just because I were in Rome. To hear them say, like, you know, my daughter's still got a dad because of this club, my wife's still got an husband because of this club, you know. I'm still here because of this club. This club has changed my life. And there were guys there who was gay, there was guys there who was black, who was white, who was brown, who were different races, different religions, different shapes, different sizes.
Big men.
And big man, small man. And it just emphasised exactly what AMC is all about. Here we are, a couple more comments are flying in now, which is amazing. Adele Hannah, an amazing lady, has just put, great to hear about the new Sheffield group starting in January. That's awesome. Carlos Jordi, I know for me, I don't know where I would be without the Brotherhood of AMC. Great bunch at Wakefield's AMC.
I want to talk about this this Brotherhood, because I was having a bit of an interesting conversation this morning, actually, around the word culture. And you hear that word a lot in business. You'll have heard it on the, you know, professional sports fields, and culture for me is a massive thing. And you know, I bought into the culture you set at the club, around Andy's Man Club. And I was having this conversation with a guy, and I thought I'll sum it up into 3 points what I thought culture is. And I'll quote what I actually put. I put, culture is key. In my former life, when we were working some of the lessons I took home, my take home on culture is, number one, how you do anything is how you do everything. Yeah. You have to be all in and invest in truly understanding your current culture. This is in business, and under the iceberg. So, like what you're saying is,
it's just in business.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying in life, any area. So we have that, you know, top of the iceberg. What we're putting out there, we've got it all figured out. Under the iceberg, like back to your story, we ain't got it figured out. It's not good, is it? We have to be honest. Two. Set a true and authentic vision of yourself and be radically honest with yourself, your team, or, you know, and change is hard. It's hard work, but it takes action, right? But
change can be good, though.
Yeah, change it. Yeah.
A lot of people, I've seen it quite a lot recently, a lot of people don't like change and they think change is bad, but change can be good. Change is good. It freshens you up. It brings new things. So, if for me, change is good.
Yeah, and then starting from the top or yourself, you need support. You do need support. You need a committed team, so you need a strong unit around your family unit, strong business unit, and change the culture, change the game. Was my sign off on that. I checked out with change the culture, change the game. And for me, culture, when you know that word change, it's a catalyst for something new to grow. You know, it's like just, you know, tearing over the garden, it's planting some new raw materials, and off we go again. And for me, we've got a constantly changing. I read some of it, because I like my stats, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak as a snack in here.
Stat man, is it?
Yeah, stats man, all right. I
sneak as a snack then.
No, that's,
you did.
I always did. Probably. It's Christmas time. I'm getting ready to be a big bear for a couple of weeks. Yeah, because I'm coming back. I'm coming stronger for you. You wait. I've got it lined up.
We'll see.
Bought myself a Christmas present, so I'm just... I'm not as heavy this year as I was last year, so I'm just bulking a bit more. yeah, exactly. Where's it going? Yeah. I had this stat. So, our body, like our fingernails and everything, are always growing out there and changing, right? And I read that our organisms in our cell, every 7 years are new.
Yep.
I've read that. So, like, we're just new every 7 years.
Everything's always changing. Talking about culture, amazing.
I'll lose that.
You should start from, you know, what we've had to do recently. You know, I did take a step back, you know, from the overall stuff. You know, life was getting busy. We had some great people in place. But then, you know, what started to happen is, from the bottom up and up down, everywhere in between, it started just to get, because Andy's Mankle became so successful, you know, people want to have a splinter of that, right? And they want to say, well, this is how we do it. Where actually, Andy's Mankle became so successful because everyone bought into that vision. So what we've had to do is recently...
And let's reiterate and let's bang that drum on that vision.
Well, and the reason why we do it is because I've had a guy from Newton Abbott come on here today, haven't we, who says it's a brotherhood, right? And then a guy from Wakefield just put, great brunch at Wakefield's brotherhood, right? So that's 300 miles apart, and yet they're both using that word brotherhood.
Yeah.
And we haven't forced that on people.
And that's culture.
It's just what's coming. We are, our culture is a brotherhood. And what's happened is we've had to cut stuff, and we've had to allow people to go do their own thing so that we don't affect the brotherhood, right? And even from the top, you know, we've started a trustee board now to drive that brotherhood vision. I'm a lot more involved than I've ever been again, just to really help drive that vision forward, because that's what it's all about. And you know, you always say people, technology and process.
Yeah, I believe you need three things to drive change. Starting with number one, people. So you need someone to start something, don't you? You know. So let's talk about yourself. You had to realise that person you was want where you want to be. And then it takes, second thing, you need a process to how you make that change.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you really want to do it and you want to maximise it, you can link technology in there. So again, you know, you're now using that platform, you know, sharing on the
technology
here.
Doesn't have to be people think technology is electrical technology. Can just be the technology of Andy's Bank Club, which is the Monday night.
Yeah, exactly.
And social media,
Andy's Bank Club don't exist without technology. Don't exist, right? Don't exist without technology, right? And we are becoming a digital, you know, age. We talk about that.
Scared,
but
don't you think it's scary
though? I love it. I love it because we won't be sad. Just think of it, you know, as human beings, right? I think our most important skill, and that man does it for a job, is being able to communicate. Because if you can't communicate, you imagine how many people die with ideas and thoughts what are locked up in them, what they never did.
The richest place in the world is the graveyard.
Exactly.
All great ideas died.
True. So if we can't communicate, that's what we're doing. That's what Andy's Man Club's doing, allowing you to communicate.
Yeah, getting it out.
Paul's back on, Curtis. I think it's amazing. He's just put, we had an Andy's Man Club Christmas lunch in Newton Abbott, and it was so nice to see 21 men. Wow. They say men don't talk. Having a great time and so many smiles and laughs.
There's food involved.
Exactly. Thank you for changing so many lives and saving so many lives. And you know what's so exciting?
Nice.
Shout out Newton Abbott. I can't wait, actually. I know we sent yourself and Deck up to Scotland to meet the Scotland brothers.
We need to make excuses and get the trustees on a road trip.
We're going to, in January, which is going to be really nice. We're going to be in a facility. I won't announce the dates yet. We're having this next trustee meeting, which we're tying in with his facilitator training. Speaking of Adam and Alex, we're looking at doing two. We're going to go one down here and one up in Scotland. So we're going to get back up to Scotland again.
Bonnie Scotland.
And we're going to go up there. But
any problem?
The Newton Abbott.
I've got a lot of customers up there doing
this. Yeah.
Newton Abbott lads. We're going to aim to get them up, but the facilitators. But we're also going to go down and meet the lads, get as many of the lads who want to be facilitators down in that meeting. So that'd be really good. I think we've got another comment here from Carlos again. AMC is a clear step change for keeping men safer. It is a sanctuary for men to offload.
Nice.
That's like the mission statement, isn't it?
My question for you guys, because obviously you're heavily part and involved. So if I'm watching this, what is the plans for 2019 and this man club?
Great question.
I think we had this discussion as trustees.
Where'd that come from?
I'd rather under promise and over deliver than over promise and under deliver. So I think we sat as trustees, and you know, we want to be getting 500 men a night. We're up to 350 men a night now. I want to be getting 500 men a night. We want to be getting up to, you know, 25 clubs. And really, but the thing is, we could open 100 clubs next week, but they might be doing it right way. Sheffield, shout out Sheffield and Fire Station down there for really supporting what we're doing. That's the goal, and I think it's just to get them up. We always say one man counts, but the problem is with this is it ain't just affecting one man. That's why one man does count. If only one man turns up, that's important, because it's still one man. But we're not just about one man, we're about as many men as possible to help out. Listen, we don't get funding for ticking boxes for how many men come through the door. What we get is we get as our why, which is to stop men killing themselves. So the more men that come, the more chance we've got of stopping men taking their lives, more guys of joining that brotherhood and being a part of what we're all about.
And also, again, I believe what the man club's doing around there with the full mental health movement is, you know, if you've got a problem, you know, with your health, you get a plan, you go to the gym, you get a diet, or you, all these different things, you put a plan in action. We've got nothing like that for mental health, you know. You go straight to your doctor, and I've seen it firsthand recently. They're not set up to deal with what we're doing, unfortunately, and they need help. So, I mean,
I can remember when I first went, when I was struggling, and they says, oh, we'll just put you on these tablets. And I went, no. No, I'm not putting me on any tablets.
We don't speak about medication at Andy's Man Club.
No, and
because for some people, it's not medication in for them, but some people, they need that medication. So for yourself, you found alternative methods. For some people, they need that medication.
And I think as well, you know, and it's back to that circle as well, though, right? You know, you've got to think, you know, GPs on the front line, they've got to use what tools and that they've got in front of them in a crisis. So medication's got a massive place, but again, we don't speak about it for, you know, for obvious reasons, because we're not professionals. But I think the big bit, you know, back to that wide culture and what we're doing, this brotherhood, and your great question, love that question, by the way. We said we wrapped it up because we like to do things a bit simple, don't we? Want quality, not quantity.
Yes.
Right?
In terms of groups,
but also, you know, we're committed as an organisation now. You know, now we've got pay members of staff, we're committed to be a learning organisation. So me, you know, my role as a trustee, I want to make sure that, you know, I get this asked all the time. I got it mentioned to me the other day, you know, oh, you're the leader of this group. I'm a leader, I'm a user of the group. I turn up to Hull as Leo McQuaid, a user of Andy's Man Club. I don't turn up as Leo McQuaid trustee. I don't turn up as Leo McQuaid facilitator. And a facilitator, and this, we do need
more stuff off.
Yeah, because otherwise I turn up and I see it, you know, it's happened to myself. I turn up with that hat on and I don't use a club what it's meant to be used for. Paul does it, and now we turn up and we've got other lads helping us now. And anyone who, you know, puts a banner out, anyone who turns up, anyone who shares a message, they've got an opportunity to be a facilitator. But a facilitator don't mean you're in charge. It just means that you help.
Well, yeah, direct.
You're part. It's that word brotherhood. Mm. If you're a facilitator, you're part of the brotherhood. And a facilitator is somewhere that, you know, we've got guys who wouldn't want to be called a facilitator because that's not their bag, right? Mm. But they facilitate that meeting because when that, and it's weird how Andy's Man Club works, right? Also, say it's beautiful the way it works.
Yeah.
When you got a guy who's sharing something that's so real, so raw, there's always that guy who just pulls him back and goes, I was there. And he's facilitating that session at that point. When he jumps in and says that and just gives that guy that pat on the back, that I was there, and some of these are big, tough, rough blokes who you wouldn't think would be there, you know, and they're there. They're facilitating that environment, and that's why I believe the brotherhood's so big. But really, really, we've got to be on it. Is we need to train. We need more time to train. You know this.
Which we are doing. And we're all over.
So I think answering your question, I think our vision is still to get more men through the door. Our vision is still to help that one guy, right? So if we've got a club that's got one and two guys in there, you know, that's enough, right? You know, what gets me out of bed to go to Andy's Man Club on a Monday to make sure them doors are open is I just want one guy there.
We do.
That's all I want.
But at the same time, we want that one guy there. But and we won't be disappointed if only one turns up, but we still want to help as many as we can.
Because we also know...
you believe in what works.
Yeah.
And you believe what is... What you're doing is working, so why won't more people take use of that?
Let's read a couple of comments that are really relevant to discussion.
Oh, look at this, look at that one.
David's put, brotherhood nice. Definition, the epitome of goodwill and faith. As humans, we are not defined by our faults or sins, but by the capacity for love that we have for one another. When one is within the brotherhood, one abides by the law of the word. We all arise, when we hear the call. We are all equalised under this truth, and the supremacy of the call to support each other is needed.
Nice.
He's heated. So for me, that's all we are. We're all equal.
Nice.
And I think what you try to say, Lennon, for simple term for me is, Everyone at Andy's Man Club's equal. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in bank, what your status is, what job you have, whether you're unemployed or not, or you are in the best job in the world, or you turn up in on a bike, or you tie your dog up outside because you're homeless, or whether you pull up in the best car there is, you are equal when you walk through that door. And that's what is so special about Andy's Man Club. Adele has just put, what everyone sees is the immediate effect the clubs have on the men who attend. But AMC is more than that, because the positive effect on the lads help the whole family.
And that's great to see from Adele and sharing that, because I think I like that word, ripple effect.
Yeah.
And you chuck a stone into a pond, you see it ripple. And for me, seeing Andy's Man Club as a bigger picture now, the ripple effect on it is huge. How do you quantify that?
I don't think you ever can, because they say every suicide affects up to 60 to 80 people. So, if we've stopped 100 people, it's 8,000 people, isn't it? So that haven't been affected. So Joe Parkins put, great what you guys are talking about. There's no shame in needing help and needing to talk. Paul Curtis, I need a big sticker for my van for Andy's Man Club. Where can I get one?
Well, it's funny you mentions that. We've got a lot of people out there helping us, and we need to get more of them out there, don't we?
We do, and any advertisement material like that.
Some tyres.
What I want people to do is, if you do want to support us and support what we're about, there is a t-shirts and all that available through our website. We eat the shop, through the Total Active. You can get all those stuff ordered and wear the t-shirts with pride in the gym or at your work. If you want leaflets or posters to put around your work, email info at Andy's Man Club, and that'll get passed through to Andrew Greenway, who leads on all that. And or message Sabrina on the info account, info@andysmanclub.co.uk, and she'll get sent out any stickers and things like that you need, and she can talk about how we get that out to you. So don't feel ashamed to ask for that. We are going to have to wrap up. So one thing I'm going to ask is one comment or one piece of advice for anyone watching out there. We'll start over there with you, Brett.
Don't be afraid to open up. Don't be afraid to speak to that person, whether it be your family member or mate, or whether it be someone in your gym. You might be a gym instructor. Don't be afraid. Stop. Get it off. You'll feel 10 times better. And everyone have a good Christmas.
Nice. Leon?
Get out there and take action. You always know deep inside what the answer is. So get out there and get yourself around a different group of people and ask some questions of yourself.
For me, it'd be when you're feeling shit, you feel like you're the only one going through that shit, and you don't feel like anyone else could even begin to relate. But you'd be amazed that one little conversation can spark a series and open a well of shit, and you'll understand that you're not the only one going through that. And please do reach out to whoever it may be, anyone you feel comfortable, whether it be Samaritans, whether it be a best friend, as Brett said, reach out and look up. No matter how many times life hits you down, just keep looking up and know that if you get up, life can keep moving forward. And that's the message today as we move into a new year in 2019. Whatever's been in 2018 has been, let's attack the new year, and hope to see you all on the 7th of January for our first group back. And all the facilitators out there, want to give you a massive shout out for opening them doors every Monday and literally saving lives. So I think we've got one more comment before we wrap this up, and it's Neil Moss. Men always leave with a smile. We had one new guy say this week that had nobody, that he had nobody to turn to, and he's now saying he can't wait for the 7th of Jan. Another guy that said he's glad that he came back because he realised how much he needed it, and if he hadn't have come, he wouldn't be here. AMC works, everyone. That's from Neil Moss, our Bradford facility.
Nice, Neil.
Shout out, Neil. So you can see, we've had Bradford, Wakefield, Newton Abbott, Halifax,
Hull.
It's nationwide, Scotland, and we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep doing our bit. Andy's Man Club has taken over the BU. We're wishing you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and remember, no matter where you are currently in your life, that it really is okay to talk.
Thanks, fellas.
Cheers.